Now, Luke chapter 3 here, verse 21. The Bible says, now, when all people were baptized, it came to pass, Jesus also being baptized, and prayed. So the difference was that Jesus added something else, praying. When all people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, and that caused the heavens, and the Bible says the heaven was opened. Next verse, it says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came to him from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the scripture tells us that Jesus was also baptized like every other person, but the distinction was that Jesus was praying, right? While that was going on, he did it prayerfully. The effect of it was that the heaven was opened over the life of Jesus, such that the Holy Ghost descended upon him, and he heard a loud voice, and they heard that voice saying, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I'm speaking on how we have spiritual encounters when we expose ourselves to, all right, the ministry of the word, you know, church service, and that's why this should be done, right, regularly. One shouldn't come to church, all right, without that spiritual consciousness. And the reason is that it determines what you will experience, all right, within the meeting. Now, Jesus went there praying. Now, from the scriptures, it's very easy to see that the inner thing during the time of John the Baptist was to go for baptism under John the Baptist. Soldiers were coming, big men were coming. John the Baptist himself was surprised. He said, who had warned you to? And he was shocked at the kinds of people that were showing up for his meeting. So it had almost become a social thing. You are seated in a party and they will ask you, have you gone for John's meetings? Have you been there? Have you been baptized? And we'll say, well, I'm going next tomorrow with the family, all right? And it became something, and Satan wanted to come and a nice thing there. So Jesus also went, but the Bible tells us that Jesus went there praying, and Jesus had a spiritual encounter. And that spiritual encounter was even deeper than the knowledge of John himself, such that John, who had said, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, at one point when he was shut up in prison, sent his disciples to go and ask Jesus whether he was the Messiah or they were to seek another to come. In other words, John himself started getting confused about the identity of Jesus. So when you have a spiritual encounter, right, in a meeting, it even goes deeper than the vessel who is being used by God to minister unto you. And this is why, all right, I mean, I see all things, we write all kinds of stuff on social media today, attacking and all of that. But God forbid, you can't get my dead body to speak against any person who has ever pastored me. Anybody, you cannot get it. The reason is that I had spiritual encounters when I sat and I listened to them, as something entered into my heart, right, which was even beyond what they were consciously thinking about. And there's a way in which that kind of thing is secured. And when you secure those kind of things there, then those things stay with you throughout time, and they are there with you throughout your entire life. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see Paul speaking about this kind of thing. He said, moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant, how that how many all our fathers were under the cloud, And then how many all passed through the sea? And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. But then it says, with many of them, God was not well pleased. And now God said about Jesus, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And when God says he is pleased at somebody or with somebody there, he is not talking about the state of that person. He is talking about the things that that person does. You can check the scripture. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. It tells us about the elders who obtained a good report through faith. It tells us what Abel did. Tells us what Noah did. Tells us what Enoch did. In other words, those men that were pleasing unto God and came out with that report card in heaven, it's because of certain things that they did. It tells us in 1 John that we know, all right, whatever we ask of him, we receive because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So it's in the things you do. And an example was that when Jesus went to be baptized, there was something else that Jesus was doing, and Jesus was praying. And God, you know, is like, well, look at his own approach. Look at the way he has gone about, all right, certain things. And so we have here that all people were baptized into Moses, and it's possible. Everybody reads the same books. Everybody is exposed to the same meeting. Everybody, they lay hands on everybody, all right? That does not attest to whether or not the ministry was credible. It could be the way and manner in which the person who exposed himself to that particular ministry or that anointing did not follow what we call, all right, divine protocol, which means the order, all right, in which you approach it in order to be able to get what God intended for that individual. So they were baptized into Moses. So Moses literally saw 24,000 of his members overthrown in one day. He saw thousands of his people there, all right, things happening to them. And it wasn't because what Moses said wasn't right. It wasn't because he didn't conduct himself properly, right? It was because people there didn't understand how to interact and how to relate with that. So in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, it tells us, Romans 10, I want to start looking at this, verse 1 it tells us, and this goes to the heart of our Christian experience. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So Paul says, I was praying to God for the salvation of Israel. And then he said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but is not according to knowledge. So these people that were zealous for God, they were void, their hearts was void, all right, of a certain knowledge. This word knowledge in the original rendering is in definite article tense. In other words, he was saying they were ignorant or they had a zeal, but not according to the knowledge. So there was a specific knowledge that they did not have that Paul looked and said, even though they are zealous for God, and even though we are praying over them, right, it is not bearing forth fruit. And growing up as a Christian, one of the greatest fears, when I say fear, not scared, all right, that I had in my heart was, all right, to find people that are zealous for God. In all sincerity, in all genuineness, they love God and serve God and want to work for God. Yet, they end up like what we call the elder brother syndrome when he saw a party being thrown for his younger brother and he told his father, all these years I have served you, yet I haven't gotten anything. In other words, people are serving in all sincerity. And after some time, they begin to develop a resentment towards the entire thing. because all these years we have done this, and they have used their zeal in doing things. And you know, they will run around and do several things. And you say, yet, all right, nothing, what I've been praying about, you haven't even flinched on that particular thing, as it were, and I have spent. And zeal begins to wane. People start getting tired, all right, and then we have to almost literally blackmail people to get people to still have the appearance of being committed, right, to the things of God. And it says, what were they ignorant of? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness that is of God. So he said, and this is the most dangerous place to be. And I know people who have been here, who today will not go to church. Now when I say things, I'm talking about people that are close to me. And you say, where did all the zeal go to? It says that they were void of a definite knowledge there. And then it says, what is this knowledge? It tells us, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, what's this righteousness? If you put up Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it tells us what it is. Romans 1, 16. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So power is in operation there. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And why is it so? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, when he says it's written, the just shall live by faith, he's quoting Habakkuk, and what is literally written there is that the just shall live by his faith. Now, that his faith is not by your faith, but by the faith of Jesus. That is, the just will live by the faith of Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus gifts us his faith to live by. The same faith he used while he was on the earth, he says, now I've died, I've transferred that faith into your own heart, to be able to get the kind of results that I got. That's why Paul said, I am crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it is not I, but Christ who lives on the inside of me. For the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, in Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he gifted that. So Paul goes on in Romans 10, it says, for Christ the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, which is not the one we operate under, that a man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. In other words, when we start getting into this righteousness, the first thing it tells us is that it speaks. So you want to see a person who doesn't get results, zealous for God, can even be prayerful, but they don't understand the power of words. They don't know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. They, with their words, contradict and nullify the effect of their prayers. That is, they are praying for the growth of their business, but when you get down with them there and you get into a real conversation with them and the religious mask is off, then the conversation from the abundance of their heart starts coming out. And they talk about how terrible the nation is, how difficult it is for anybody to be able to make it. And those things begin to come out. A person who has the revelation of the righteousness of God, which is by faith, will not. That is, they asked Kenneth Hagin, he said, if you took a baseball bat and you said, we will beat you to death. He said, I will say, keep beating. I will not change what I am saying. This is God's word, and it is on my lips. That is, it is not subject, right, to things. And then you find somebody else who understands the revelation of righteousness, and you find out that the downturn in their life is even worse than this other person, but you cannot find it in the conversation of that person. What you find in their conversation is, when others say there's a casting down, I say there is a lifting up. He has an understanding of that particular thing there. So it tells us, for Christ is the end of the law, for Moses described it. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? He knows this thing is being said not just with my lips, but it's coming out of my heart. Who shall ascend to heaven? And what's the meaning of that? That is, we're saying, God, you know, come down and do something. He understands God has come, all right, in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus is now living on the inside of him. So he's not talking about God coming down. Number two, he says, who shall descend to the deep? It's like, go and bring Jesus back from the dead. Let him be back on our streets. Says he's alive and he's resident on the inside of me. They said, so how does it become visible in your life? He says, this is the next thing. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Paul said, this is the word of faith we preach. Full stop. In other words, what we are preaching, right, is, right, the word of faith. That the word is nigh thee, inside on your lips, and then it gets into your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Now, let me just say this here. I have changed, all right? I have changed. You follow what I'm saying here? But when we started this ministry, I was very reluctant. Well, when I say I changed, I've found a way to integrate both into a cohesive system. But I was very reluctant, right? So just allow people to join the church, and then, you know, we just get into, you know, service, and everybody's running around, because I knew that if a person doesn't have that fundamental understanding of how the Word of God operates, and that person is living by that understanding, you are dealing with a candidate that can get offended and begin to say negative things after some time, and you're not helping them. Because what happens is, they might just be going up, quote and unquote, the career ladder of church life, all right, and being promoted, but they really don't understand the kingdom. And here's what will happen. Mary and Martha were there. Jesus said, she has chosen the good part. And there was all over the entire place, running around. Jesus was around. No, let's help Jesus. Oh, Jesus, do you want to eat? All right. Even when Jesus was fasting, maybe she was all around. Like, Jesus, want to eat? You want to lunch plate? Let's do another. And Jesus himself must have been grieved in his heart, because Jesus knew that even though you've broken the alabaster box on my head, your brother is going to follow you. And you will have thought that anybody who broke the alabaster box on my head, the brother doesn't get healed. Jesus knew that. And he was looking ahead and saying, listen, I don't want you overthrown. That he's chosen the good part. All right? And that's what happened there. They got overthrown in the wilderness. They had the spiritual mate, but then things happen and they judge. And, you know, and they get overthrown there. So I see people, right, who get offended easily at things. Oh, I was going to that mirror. I know that. I know that. But when you have an encounter, which means you are not just baptized, you heard a voice, you can't be moved by those things. In other words, the word of God entered into your heart as a two-edged sword. You see, I mean, if you look around you, all the people there, they didn't know you the day you got, gave your life to Christ. So how can their behavior take you away from Jesus? I don't get it. Just like I said, I saw a drunk driver driving around the whole place. Then I said, because he was drunk, then I too am no longer going to drive. You are drunk for yourself. I know where I'm going. But you can't demand that without. So what he said, the word is nigh thee. In other words, Paul was saying, this is what we're preaching. That if we come and we preach, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself, and all of this. He said, we know that in the flesh, you cannot meet up, you can't match that particular thing. So what we are saying is that when we preach it, take that word and place it on your lips. And start saying, I love my wife just as Christ loves the church. The very same feelings, even if you see your wife and to greet her good morning is difficult based on the condition at that time. That you want to change it, he said, start saying it, I love her. All right? He says, when you start saying it, he said, what will happen? After some time, it will get into your heart. When it drops into your heart, the Holy Ghost will show you exactly what to do to demonstrate that love that will bring about the change. That if they say, wife, submit yourselves to your husband, you say, listen, pastor, you don't understand this man. You cannot submit to this man. He doesn't even know where he's going before we submit. All of us understand it. That don't you understand? Now, the truth is, a person can present a situation to you that even you that if you preach something, you say, you yourself, you scratch your head. But, all right, but if she starts saying, wives, all right, I sup now, it might be hard. It's just, all right. Then I say, add the name of the man. Let's just call a name that I don't think anybody has that name. Let's just say Dakuk, all right? I don't think anybody has that name. I say, I submit to Dakuk. All right? But once she starts saying it, once it hits her spirit, what happens is God will show her, this is the act of submission. This is what I'm asking you to do. She does that, she sees a change. So Paul said, listen, what we are preaching is that the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. He said, this is the word of faith that we preach. He went on and said this. He said, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, you believe with your heart, you say it with your lips, and then it materializes, all right? Which means your confession always precedes the manifestation. Salvation comes when you believe and you say. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Then it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all those that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, here is a statement, and the scriptures cannot be broken. It says, for whosoever, meaning anybody, who calls upon the name of the Lord shall, not might, shall be saved. So, whosoever a bucket of water is poured on shall be wet. So if I came in here when I walked up here, I said to you that, can you imagine, guys, as I came into this church, the head usher played a prank and emptied a bucket of water on me. And you look at me and I am not wet. It means I am lying. Isn't that what it means? Let God be true and every man a what? Liar. It means I'm lying. Except I don't know what it means to pour a bucket of water on somebody. If I say that, I'm wrong. For whosoever a bucket of water is poured on shall be wet. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, I said Jesus four times. I called him. Who said that? Calling on the name of the Lord. You can say, Jesus, Jesus. You're outside. And we all run there. What is the problem? In other words, it was a voice of fear, not salvation. I'll show the order here, so we understand it. All right? So we understand it. Because if you don't understand it, the more knowledge you have, the more burdens you because you'll be feeling, I can't practice this thing. The more, like a friend told me in school, he said, I don't listen to Mike Murdock in there. I said, why? He said, it says too many things. And the one that I have, I've not yet done. What is happening is that it's creating guilt here. That I know, then I go and hear again that to whoever who knows to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. To whom much is given, much is expected. He says, so I don't want, all right? Right? So what he was saying, I don't know the method of obedience. I don't understand, all right, how I can walk in what I know is what he's saying. Now, let's go on here. So he goes on here and says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he tells us, knowing the problem, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And then it says, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? In other words, you can't call if you haven't believed. And then it says, you can't believe if you have not heard. Now, I want to show the power of hearing. Now, put up Galatians 3. We start reading from verse 2. The power of hearing. It tells us in Galatians 3. He said, this only will I learn of you. All right? It says this. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law. Remember, it says, the righteousness that is of the law, then the righteousness that is of faith. By the works of the law, or the righteousness that is of law, and then it says this righteousness, or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? In other words, you've gone through so much and suffered. He said, haven't you come to the right conclusion? Have you suffered all those things in vain? Now, note that word suffer, all right, and the word hearing. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He now goes on verse 5. He went on and said, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles amongst you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham heard something, and what he heard caused him to believe, and then the Bible says it was counted unto him, all right, as righteousness. So he heard something. So he said, God transfers this thing, all right, by what is called the hearing of faith. He said, have you suffered so many things in vain? Now let's look at the woman with the issue of blood, and we'll see the power in hearing. Mark chapter 5 and verse 26. Mark 5 and verse 26. It tells us this, or from verse 25. It says, there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and she suffered many things. So when Paul was saying, have you suffered many things in vain? She suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all she had, and nothing better, but rather grew worse. Where did the challenge come from? But when she had heard of Jesus. In other words, the change came when she had what was called the hearing of faith.
Thank you for listening.